More than this, such sensations call up in it more or less distinct reminiscences of similar feelings and emotion formerly experienced, and this will give rise to appropriate actions, so that past and present sensations of very different kinds have been united in one dominant activity. These principles evidently act with intelligence in some actions, with mere feeling in other actions, but constantly, in an unperceived and unfelt manner. Its existence cannot be denied. The existence of your body you may deny, absurd as such a denial would be, and has been denied by idealists, but the existence of the active principle of your nature it is absolutely impossible to deny. 419. Nevertheless, reason and common sense combine to assure you of the existence of such principles. To conceive of the universe as consisting of atoms acted on by external forces, but having in themselves no power of response to such actions, is a plain absurdity. No one thing can possibly act upon any other unless that other has a natural capacity to be acted on. To deny this would be to deny the plainest evidence of your senses. 420. In the life activity of the individual all is orderly, all is harmonious, and proceeds along a plain by preordained plan. And such order pervades the whole of nature. All the transformations, the succession embodiment of new ideas of all ranks and degrees, which are daily taking place in countless myriads on all sides of you, take place harmoniously and in order. However singular or surprising must be the power of individual evolution in certain cases, however roundabout its course or unexpected its intermediate steps and ultimate outcome, it is to each and every case a process carried on according to definite natural laws to fulfill a precise and predetermined end. 421. In order that the actual world that you see about you should ever have been possible, its very first elements must have possessed these definite essential natures, and have had implanted within them these internal laws and innate powers, which reason declares to be necessary to account for the subsequent outcome. We know that evolution takes place, and that it must have taken place for reasons given by us in former writings. But we are still able to say, from our knowledge, and under our careful scientific observation, that man, in fact, has been actually evoluted. Evolution, therefore, must be a process full of purpose and replete with design, which exists, not only at its root and origin, but accompanies it at every step of its progress. 422. Careful introspection shows that your complex being includes an active, dominant, immaterial, individual energy, capable of knowing abstract and universal truth, as well as experiencing emotions and feeling sensations, down to the merest sensation of touch. Whatever influence external circumstances may bring to bear upon any organism, it can only affect it according to the innate laws of its own innate active energy and nature. Signed, Wesley. 423. Denton again came to view, and in response to a question whether spirits consider it right to work on Sunday, said, "We work on Sunday and every other day, and nature, our great precedent and exemplar, of which we are part, works all day on Sunday." A person who alleges that the spirits of these seances are not whom they claim to be, this spirit said, "Dr. Sahas, if all the spirits here are impostors, why does that gentleman send questions here? A. Some people think we occupy no space and therefore are nothing. How absurd." 424. We have our work to do at this place. We have it all planned out, and unless we are interfered with in our plans, we shall do our work here, and if hindered here, we will do it in the spirit world. In order to be with us on being transferred to this side of life, it is necessary for you to do your work on earth, and such as you leave undone will have to be done in the spirit world under the conditions your earth life leaves you in. If in harmonious conditions, it will be well; if not in such, you will have to work up to them over here. All are not in harmony. Many who think themselves in harmony are not so. Many people have battled in life till they are combative, so much so that they are not satisfied unless they are battling with something and piercing the very souls of all they mingle with. Some people think that war is the only way to develop the people, but you cannot ride into heaven over the dead bodies you have slain in the battle, nor over the spirit of peace you have killed in your brother's breast. 425. Little children are getting to be more spiritual, but not all of them, because conditions prevent many little ones from going the road of peace, but some people are trying to work along true lines, and this is to their credit. Mrs. Evelyn Young. 426. Then the artist came out to his station, took from the box of sketch paper one sheet, exhibited the same to the circle until the members of the circle were all satisfied, or at least they also declared, that the paper was entirely clean. Then the artist laid the paper on the table, took up the proper crayon, bade the spirit stand to his view in proper pose, and began moving the crayon pencil very rapidly over the paper, and at the same time blowing across the paper much as a Chinese laundryman does in sprinkling the pieces for the smoothing iron. Some of the circle saw the spirit whose likeness was being sketched sufficiently clear to discern that it was a lady form. In a few seconds the artist stops blowing and moving his hand over the paper, and exclaims, "Oh, nicee, nicee. Come on, nicee." Raises paper so the circle see the picture partly developed. Then the artist proceeded to finish the picture and in a few seconds more, raised the paper, saying, "Nicee, nicee, oh, nicee." Then handed the paper to one of the circle to exhibit to each of the circle all round to the secretary. Then Bessie said, "Say, Mr. Nixon, here comes a lady, see if that picture looks like her." And immediately there came out of the cabinet and right up to the secretary a lady form, and as she came the circle say with one accord, "That looks like the picture," and the secretary says, "This picture certainly is in likeness of this spirit form." Then the spirit raised her hands and beckoned toward Mr. N.B. Young and also bowed towards him, and Mr. Young said, "That spirit is my wife. She had that kind of hair and wore it in that style. She was rather slender like that, and had such actions and movements," and the spirit backed into the cabinet, bowing and courtesying as she receded as though in intense delight. 427. Then the spirit Wesley Abba, who is several inches taller than the medium and who has a voice very much like that of Thomas Paine, came out of the cabinet and said, "Friends, we thank you for giving us your aid in time and attention and kindly offices. The artist has produced a beautiful work this evening, and we hope it is, or will be, clearly recognized. This lady passed to spirit life a number of years ago, and she was almost idolized by her husband who, all these lonesome years, has held her sacred in his memory. Wherever he has chanced to be at, daytime or night, he has had a constant adoring thought toward that, to him, endearing woman." 428. Mr. Young says, "That picture is a splendid likeness of my wife, who died, as we call it, 17 years ago. The hair, the eyes, the nose, the forehead, the cheeks, the attitude, the expression, are all in complete likeness." The artist said, "This picture is as the lady was made up, and she is made up as nearly as possible to resemble her present spiritual expression in spirit life." And Sam told Mr. Young, last Tuesday evening, that this picture was made for him. Mr. Young exhibited an old-style tin plate photo which, in every perceivable line of detail, resembles this portrait. A. Altogether, the evidence that this is a picture of the deceased wife of Mr. Young is as conclusive as would be required to identify persons and pictures, altogether, on the mortal side. At least, Mr. Young, who says he is a lawyer, says the chain of evidence, to him, is complete as to the identity. Seance number 26, September 25, 1902, 429. By special courtesy of the spirits, William Price, of Excelsior Springs, Mo., and Robert L. Connor, of Libo, Coffeeco, Kansas, were admitted to this seance. Notwithstanding the two new elements, there was nearly the average amount of matter given, though the phenomenal display was not so good as when no new elements are in the room. A. Reed desired to know whether or not the circle was satisfied with the matter given, so far, for the book. The circle answer, "We think the matter very excellent. But we also think this spirit band is fully competent to judge of the matter most appropriate to the purpose." B. Reed, We endeavor to give such matter as we see to be of the most interest and benefit to the general inquirer of these things. C. Wesley came forth and concluded his writing, which he began at last séance, and this writing is inserted continuously with that of last séance. See paragraph 420-422, Disease and Remedies dictated to typewriter by Spirit Dr. Constantine 430. A. The study of medicine and surgery held such a fascination for me, that as soon as I discovered that I was free of my earthly body, I resolved to make a thorough investigation of many things I was unable to investigate while hampered by the flesh. B. I soon found that the so-called science of medicine was not a science, and that it owes its success, not to the curative powers of its medicines, but to the psychological effect produced upon its patients in their administration by those the patient has confidence in. I have seen patients who would have died under ordinary treatment, but who, when placed under the charge of a celebrated specialist and not given even as careful nursing as they would have received at home, were so influenced by the fame of the specialist that they entirely recovered. This effect could have been accomplished by one unfamiliar with medicine, if you could have convinced the patient that the renowned drive so-and-so was present. C. If you don't believe this statement, my friends, just experiment a little yourselves. Semicolon. Don't be afraid of experimenting, you will only be following in the honored footsteps of the M.D.s, and many a life could be saved by a little flour and water, if administered by one who inspired confidence. You use too many drugs and too little common sense and magnetism. Magnetism is unlike electricity in many ways. If it does not accomplish good, it does the patient no harm, while, on the other hand, if electricity does not accomplish good, it results in much harm. 431. Surgery is a science so very broad and deep that it will take centuries to gain a working basis that will be positive of the results desired. If surgeons would only try to understand that the human body is controlled by the spirit, much on the same principle that man controls intricate machinery, they would then realize the futility of the same treatment for different persons. 432. It is absurd to advocate that man cultivates the spiritual part of him at the expense of the physical body. It is possible to develop the spiritual and physical so that there will be no deterioration of either one. A strong, healthy man does not need to be all animal. In fact, the perfectly normal individual, man or woman, will be found to possess an equilibrium. Worry is the cause of 3/4 of the ailments of the human family, and pray tell me, is it your body, or your spirit, that worries? You will agree, I dare say, that the brain is the vehicle of the mind, and that the mind holds the same relation to the spirit as the brain to the mind. 433. My friends, spirits are coming to us hourly, soul sick, all because they have lived for a long time in unhealthy bodies. They are to be pitied, and I do pity them, but at the same time, I can see no reason why those still on earth should not be taught to keep their physical bodies healthy. If you take no measures to secure a suitable dwelling place, you will be made to suffer for it. This may seem paradoxical, but it is, nevertheless, true that a diseased spirit can so fully impregnate a healthy body with the thought of disease that the reaction will be such that it will be almost impossible for the spirit and its earthly body to establish an equilibrium. 434. The use of the animal and spiritual magnetism will be appreciated when I explain that it is this alone that will furnish the power to produce an equilibrium. The people upon earth are just beginning to see a little light, and are stumbling and groping along in the dark. The curative powers of sunlight should be investigated on a larger scale, and man will find that, in one way and another, nature has provided a remedy for every disease, and the sovereign cure will be found to be a healthy mind. 435. There are hospitals in the spirit world, as you have been told before, where soul-sick spirits are cared for, and I am glad to say that our patients never die from exhaustion. We have a great deal of trouble to convince them that they are really ill, but when they are convinced, they are more than glad to be up and doing. We have many pathetic cases, and we also have ludicrous ones. Just before an Easter season, I remember, two spirits brought us a patient who had died of smallpox, or rather of the fright induced by smallpox. She was moaning and groaning all the time, pleading with us to do something to keep her face from being scarred. She would forget her imaginary sufferings long enough to think of the beautiful hat and dress she felt she could not wear. We tried in every way to convince her that she was not upon earth, but she would not be persuaded. One of the nurses, a woman, of course, thought of an expedient. She bathed the patient's face carefully and told her that she would be able to attend church on Easter Sunday, and when the day arrived she accompanied her to her home to don the beautiful Easter raiment, and she felt so ashamed of the nurse that she requested her not to walk with her to church. As she swept down the grand aisle she was surprised and chagrined to think that none of her old neighbors took any notice of her whatever. And when, at the close of the sermon, her minister spoke of her as being numbered with the dead, her rage knew no bounds, and after vainly trying to let them know she was still living, she became more than miserable to know that she was dead. She thought it a most cruel injustice that others should live and she die. We cared for this unruly spirit for weeks before we could induce her to think sensibly about the matter. 436. The ones I pity most are poor sufferers who have been invalids the greater portion of their earth lives, and when they enter spirit life, they think they are still encumbered with their old bodies. But when you convince these spirits that they are in a new life, their joy knows no bounds. Old men and women skip about like school children, happy in the freedom of being able to do as others. You find no rabbiners among them, but ready patient helpers. They soon pass on to brighter, happier scenes, for we who work among the hospitals, feel that they have known enough of suffering, and that it is only just and right that they should visit brighter places in the spirit spheres. Many often return, bringing blossoms to gladden the hearts of new inmates. 437. I trust that the dwellers of earth will so learn to live that disease will not be known among them, and when they enter spirit life, they will be free. Remember, the incidents I have just related to you are not true of all who enter spirit life, but true only of those who have the thought of disease so firmly imprinted on their minds that it is paramount to anything else. Some spirits realize instantly that they are beyond suffering, and to them, everything is beautiful. Signed, Constantine Lillian the Rosebud. 438. A lady form came out to the trumpet and in whisper, said, I am a messenger, having been an inhabitant of the spirit world a goodly number of years, and finally fitted for that work, and was put in charge of very small children who came to this side having no experience whatever of earthly conditions, and I have one with me tonight, not night to us but night to the people of earth. This one came to our side some 20 years ago, when but an infant, knowing nothing whatever of anything of earth, not even its parents. I bore the waif to an infant hospital, where nothing of the gross conditions of earth can ever enter. There the little waif was carefully guarded, and schooled in the delights of pure conditions, yet it had no contrasts, therefore could not judge of the relative purity and delights of her innocent abode. 439. And in order that she should be able to enjoy her beautiful home and the glories of the spirit world, it was necessary for her to have a knowledge of earthly conditions. And so I was given charge of conducting this child back to earth from time to time. When the child first returned to the earth, among the people of earth, it could hardly endure to even examine the gross conditions, and could not understand how people could exist in such dark, gross elements. But as I led her along from one earth condition to another, over the road she would have gone had she remained on earth the ordinary allotted time, I would say to her, had you lived your time in the body you would have lived in this condition as you see these people living. I told her these people would look gross to her when they would reach the spirit condition, but by and by, they would be pure enough to reach the condition of purity and peace as was her home, and they would realize such contrasts as that, those pure realms would seem manyfold more delightful than to those who never had the earth life experience. And we journeyed on, meeting one whose earthly experience had unfolded, and the little lady said, that one looks different. And I told her this one had a higher training. 440. And we passed on to a different condition where were children. These children are not near so nice as we are in our homes. And we tarried until my little charge thoroughly learned the conditions of children on earth, and of the great contrast between their homes, conditions and schooling, and those in spirit life. This child had never known anything but innocence and purity, and she, herself, was so far removed from gross conditions of the childhood of Earth that it was long before she could, in any degree, recognize it as a reality. 441. And having learned of the methods of training and experiences in training institutions of Earth, we pursued our investigations farther along, and finally, came to where there was a great church on Earth, and there, unseen, we mingled with a congregation. She said, "This church house is not like ours at all. What is taught here?" And presently the services began. And I told her to listen attentively to the minister, for here she would get the average experience of the church methods and be able to see wherein a great work, in brave hands, is greatly needed on the spirit side. And now, the minister proceeds with his discourse in his regular methodical manner, telling the people of all he thought to be essentials to prepare one to enter higher realms of the spirit. But the child, now grown to nearly womanhood, could not accept the dicta of the minister, for she had been so far raised in the spirit world, and had learned naught that was in harmony with methods attempted by the church to enlighten the people and prepare them for future realities. Therefore the teachings of the minister seemed to her so gross, so false, so out of line with all she had ever seen, heard, or read of, in the innocent and peaceful realms where had always been her home, that she hesitated to remain and hear those dark teachings. But I told her that her future work and welfare required that she learn as much as possible of the earth conditions out of which people leave the earth, and what kind of preparation such earth conditions make for their inheritance in spirit life. But the more the young lady heard of the sermon, the more she did not believe it. In fact, it was so different from what she knew of the conditions on this side, and the necessary preparation while on earth for entrance to and enjoyment of spirit life, that at my suggestion she resolved to visit spirits who have just left the earth plane, schooled under such teaching, and witness the effect of such teaching. 442. And as we traveled on a little, reversed our course toward those conditions in spirit life where we would find people from earth who had been so schooled. And here, as the spirit doubtless intended to portray the experiences along these lines, some unthoughtful whispering by some of the circle broke magnetic conditions, so that the spirit could hold the form no longer, and it dissolved away, saying as it faded, "I hope this much will do your world some good." Continued at 467, 443. As the lady did not give her name nor that of the child, Sam ascertained and reported the name of the lady as Lily, and that of the child as Rosebud, but that both names were given in spirit life. Seance number 27, September 28, 1902, 444. Visitors present: Edward Butler, of Memphis, Mo., and R. L. Connor, of Libo, Kansas. Record of previous seance read and approved. Professor Denton, in condition of visibility in his usual manner, said, "I am delighted to meet you again. I see you are all well and hearty. I wish more people would take an interest in this work. It would be better for them, especially when they cross to this side. But it cannot be expected that all can be induced to interest themselves, and to endeavor to persuade such as will not listen is casting pearls before swine. But one event is sure and certain, that is, all must accept it, sooner or later, and moreover, those who will not accept and endeavor to understand while on earth, will surely have to finish their work over here, and if they will not accept such solid facts as these, it is absolutely useless to try to teach them. A many poor souls there are, however, who would be glad to see and know these things, but they are prevented from learning them by the doings of the church. They would gladly know but cannot." 445. You know we have said much of charity. We say now that charity is necessary where it belongs. But it does not belong to some people. How could you have charity for the fellow who would and did, wantonly, knock you down? I want you to learn here that you must assert your rights. You are mortals, but should not be helpless as a babe. Maintain your rights, but the moment you find you are wrong, confess the wrong and reform. 446. Later on during the seance, this spirit, responding in conversation with the Circle on Christian Science, said, "When Christian scientists understand what spiritualism is, and what it proposes to do, they will know spiritualism to be well-founded and see wherein they are short. They are already learning of their lamentable failures. We admit the mind to be a great force. We admit much can be done by mental force, but we know there are many conditions where mental force is powerless to restore. All the mental force in your world combined cannot restore that gentleman's arm, cannot reduce his physical organism to its symmetrical, normal condition." Here the spirit referred to a gentleman in the circle who has an empty coat sleeve. 447. 1. Having the appearance of a lady, stood to view of the circle and said, "Some time, some place, when and where we shall have conditions suitable, we will bring to your world, in presence of this medium, a wonderful revelation," and the spirit returned into the cabinet. 448. Then there came out a form, having the appearance of a man, and talked with some difficulty at first, but more fluently as he proceeded, speaking substantially as follows, to wit, "All that exists in positive condition is matter. Intelligent force permeates all material things, and is manifest in motion. Motion is moving matter. Matter in a very high state of vibratory action may be, and frequently is, classed as immaterial, but in the absolute, there is no immaterial thing. An absolutely immaterial thing would be absolutely no thing. Nothing." So-called immaterial things are conditions of matter in a very great degree of sublimation. 449. Electricity and magnetism are highly sublimated conditions of matter, and perhaps, one step farther finds us in the realm of spirit, which is a still greater degree of material sublimation, but the electromagnetic may be so nearly related to the condition of spiritual sublimation as to be the connecting link between mind, or spirit, and matter, but scientists are not, as yet, able to grasp the condition of magnetic, electric, and spiritual vibration, but investigation causes growth, step by step, until, by and by, they will know of the force of electromagnetism to such extent as to utilize these forces for the benefit of man. In fact, these forces are already being so utilized, but not yet to the full limit. If you could trace back several thousands of years, you would find that man was acquainted with these forces, and to some extent, utilized them. In this age it is being shown that your great catastrophes are due to electromagnetic disturbances, thus showing the tremendous force with which the invisible electric and magnetic elements move, when out of harmony, in order to re-establish equilibrium. But in the spirit world, we have not these overwhelming calamities, because the laws governing are better understood by the inhabitants, and these subtle elements are kept more in harmonious equilibrium. 450. If the human mind would take more cognizance of these forces, and learn of their laws and proper bounds, they might so utilize them as to avoid very many of Earth's great physical calamities. This short oration was followed by a written production extending along the same lines as the foregoing in consideration of electric and magnetic forces. 451. The spirit who did this writing was not known to the circle, nor was any name given, but the writing is, evidently, a dictation of the Star Circle of Spirits that have charge of this work, here, and is as follows, to wit, "In dealing with the nature of man, as a spiritual being, we are forced to go into the realm that brings us within the spheres of the electric and magnetic relations of the elements, but on a somewhat different plane than that of the conditions that pertain to physical results upon your surface. We have to observe here, the more subtle processes of the elements, and to some extent, proceed to explore a new and unknown realm, but we have the advantage in this work, of a valuable ally in the knowledge of electrical and magnetic laws that are cognizant to the physical senses. In order therefore, to obtain a correct idea of the effect of spiritual life upon the life of mortals, we must revert to the laws of electrical and magnetic change, as these are the great agents in molding all forms and grades of life." 452. You have seen that the spirit is an evolution of the material man, or animal, and cannot be destroyed. You also see how natural its mental attachments are to the spiritual, and should bring it in contact with mental development. The spirit has the power of thought and consecutive reasoning as much after its transition from mortal life as before. But it lacks the power of expression through ordinary channels. 453. Today the most brilliant minds are to a great extent forced to let their illuminating power shine in the private circle rather than upon the public rostrum.